भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today is the Gita Jayanti, the day Sri Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Therefore, today I decided to discuss on Bhagavad Gita and there is no difference between Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita because both are in relation to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. And both are actually the essence of the Vedas. Both are the summary presentation of the Vedas. The purpose of the Vedas is to reveal the identity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vedaischa sarvair ahameva vedya. Krishna mentioned in Bhagavad Gita that in all the Vedas only I am to be known. Aham eva vedya. And so both Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are directly revealing the identity. Bhagavad Gita is spoken by Krishna and he is giving the very clear understanding. It is this preliminary study, the basic study, and Srimad Bhagavatam is the descriptions about Krishna. It has been gradually revealed the ultimate understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas Bhagavad Gita is the basic understanding. That is, the basic understanding is that at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is distinguishing between the body and the soul, matter and spirit. And then he is revealing the duty of the spirit soul. What should a living entity do? The first consideration is that he should abide by the system that Krishna has created about this material nature. At the beginning of creation, Krishna has created the living entities came to this material nature, and along that living entity, Krishna created the system of yajna. Saha yajna praja srishta pura bhacha praja. Yajna and Praja, the living entities, both have been created at the same time, Sahajyajna. Along with the living entities coming to the material nature, the process of Yajna has been created. And what is this Yajna? The system of Yajna is to to offer recognition to the system of authority that Krishna created. The demigods are there. The demigods are the controllers of different affairs of the material nature. And the demigods are taking care of different aspects, different affairs of the material nature. So here we find three considerations. The conditioned soul, the material nature, prakriti, and the demigod, deva. The devas are the departmental, responsible, in charge of the affairs of the material nature. So these demigods have the responsibility to take care of different affairs of the material nature, and the living entity depend upon the demigods to get the supply of those things. That's the arrangement in the material nature. The living entities need different arrangements. And in a common sense way, we can see that what is that necessities of the living entities? The living entities to keep the body and soul together. They need some arrangements. The soul is in the body. That is the existence of the living entity in the material nature. And the living entities, the conditioned souls, for a conditioned soul, it is difficult to keep the body, for the soul to remain in the body is a troublesome affair. It's a very troublesome affair. To stay in the body, to remain in the body is a very difficult business. For this we need so many different arrangements. We need food, first. We need water. We need air. Also to keep the body comfortable. Like when it is very cold, then the body has to be kept warm. Body is accustomed to certain temperature. If the temperature rises too high or the temperature rises too low, then it will not be possible for the soul to remain in the body. Thus for the soul, if the temperature outside becomes very cold, what will happen? The soul will not be able to stay in this body. So to keep the body temperature, at a certain degree, what a living entity has to do? He has to put warm clothes. He has to make different arrangements, like he has to have heating system. Otherwise, if it becomes too cold, it will die. Or if the temperature becomes too hot, then the living entity will not be able to stay in the body. Then the food, in order to get food, the living entity needs so many different things. He needs the rays of the sun, he needs water, and so these arrangements, whatever the living entity needs, these arrangements are made by the demigods. And the arrangement that has been created at the time of creation, that the living entities, while getting the facilities from different departments of this material nature, they should express their gratitude. They should offer something. The demigods need something. for their survival. So there is a balance, there is a interdependence, there is a symbiosis. The demigods, they need yajna in order to flourish. They need, they don't eat foodstuff like that. But they, when yajna is performed and the flame, the ghee is offered in the fire, then the smoke that comes out, the demigods drink that. So they need that. Therefore yajna is important. And that's why the enemies of demigods, what do? Asuras, what do? They stop the sacrifice. And when the sacrifice is stopped, then the demigods suffer. So there is a interdependence in this way between the human beings and the demigods. And in Krishna's arrangement, it is through these sacrifice that the living entities would express their gratitude to the demigods, and the demigods would provide whatever they need. So that point has been explained by Krishna, that living entities must abide by this system. And when they do that, then there will be prosperity. Then there will be prosperity in the human society. So, and then Krishna pointed out that the living entities ultimately must surrender unto Krishna. And before that, Krishna also pointed out that what is sacrifice? Sacrifice actually means offering something as an expression of gratitude to Krishna and his agents. Who are these demigods? Demigods are Krishna's agents. Demigods are Krishna's agents, and when one accepts the authority of Krishna, they also accept the authority of the agents of Krishna, the demigods. To disregard the demigods would mean to disregard the authority of Krishna. Prabhupada used to say, you love me, you love my dog. If you accept Srila Prabhupada's authority, that's what Prabhupada used to say, then you also have to accept those who are appointed by me. If you say that I accept you, it used to happen those days, naturally, that's the human nature. Devotees would say, Prabhupada, I can accept you, but I can't accept these leaders. Then Prabhupada says, if you accept me, then you have to accept the people, those who have been appointed by me. Because I have appointed them because they are my people. So similarly, Krishna's arrangement also is whether we like the demigods or not, but they are appointed by Krishna to take care of different affairs. So we have to accept them. But the demons don't do that. Their point is, why should we accept them? That was Boli Maharaj's point. Boli Maharaj's point was that we are coming from the same family line. We hail from the same great-grandfather. We are in the same family. Why that line, the line of the demigods, are enjoying the heaven, and we have to stay in the hellish planets? So we also have the right to stay in heaven. Why are we deprived? So he said, well, we will take over the heavenly kingdom by power, by might, by force. So he attacked the heavenly planet, Swarga Loka. But then what happened? When he drove the demigods away and took over, then Krishna had to come and set things right. So he took away all the three worlds from Bali and banished him, exiled, or banished him, go to the lower planetary system. So this is how Krishna set up the affairs of this world. He has his people, they have been appointed to take care of different affairs, and everybody should follow that, everybody should abide by that. If anyone doesn't abide by that, then Krishna comes to correct. And the correction is, those who are not accepting Krishna forces them to accept that. And so this is how Krishna is pointing out. And the sacrifice means, then he comes to the point of sacrifice. Sacrifice means accepting something, accepting some difficulties for the sake of Krishna, for giving pleasure to Krishna. As in this chapter we saw, Brahma is being advised by the Lord himself that he is pleased because he accepted the difficulties according to his instructions. His submissive attitude is what's giving him pleasure. That you surrendered and accepted my authority, listened to my instructions, and therefore I'm pleased with you, and as a result of that you have been elevated to the spiritual platform. If we accept Krishna, we become situated on the spiritual platform. If we do not accept Krishna, if we defy Krishna, then we are imprisoned in the material nature. In the material nature, we have a tendency for sense gratification. We want to enjoy. But when we give up the tendency to enjoy for the sake of Krishna's pleasure, in order to please him or in order to win his favor, that is sacrifice. The ultimate consideration of sacrifice is Krishna's pleasure. Ultimate consideration of sacrifice is to act according to Krishna's instructions. And if we do that, then Krishna will be pleased. And then Krishna is pointing out the process of how we can become linked up with him. There are various ways of being linked to Krishna. And one of the ways of being linking is the process of Ashtanga Yoga, the eightfold process of linking with Krishna. But then, after describing that process of linking, Krishna is pointing out, yes, this way one can be linked with me. One can see me face to face when one achieves perfection of this yoga system. But then Krishna is pointing that the best way to become linked with me is by surrendering to me and by becoming my devotee. Then you don't have to go through all this arduous process. The process of Ashtanga Yoga is a very difficult process. It's a very difficult process. Like there are so many obstacles, so many difficulties. One has to practically stop breathing, has to give up everything, eating, sleeping, everything is given up. Even breathing is stopped. It's so difficult a process. And then somebody may achieve perfection after following such a difficult process. But even better than that process, and easier than that process, the simpler than that process is, just to surrender to Krishna. So in this way Krishna is pointing out that there is a roundabout materialistic way of coming to Him. But there is one direct way to come to Him. Materialistic way means taking the course of the body. If we take the course of the body, then the process will be very arduous. But if we take the process of the soul, it can be direct. The way to the way of the soul is direct surrender. The soul becomes surrendered. We become surrendered soul. Direct. Then the process is very, very effective, very easy, very simple. But if we take the materialistic way, through the body, through the karmakanda section, through the jnanakanda section, then it will be very, very difficult. Therefore, Chaitanya Charitamrita is directly rejecting karmakanda and jnanakanda. No use. No use of following the karmakanda. No use following the why? Because both karmakanda and jnanakanda are materialistic approach. Whereas devotional service of Krishna is a spiritual approach. The spirit soul surrenders. And when the soul surrenders, the body also becomes surrendered. The mind also becomes surrendered. So body and mind are taken care of in that way. Body is taken care of, the mind is taken care of. In this way, both actually the body and mind becomes purified and therefore spiritualized. Then Krishna begins to explain the process of yoga. I'm sorry, the process of devotional service. And the devotional service, the first consideration of devotional service is to recognize Krishna's position. Initially, we understood first difference between the body and the soul, difference between the matter and spirit, and then how the spirit must function in this world of matter in order to achieve spiritual perfection. And then it pure process of devotional service. What is devotional service? In order to become properly situated in devotional service, we have to understand who Krishna is. Who is Krishna? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. That is the first thing that we must understand. And that Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Controller. He is the most powerful and He is the most resourceful and He is the most wonderful. That is the way to understand Krishna. is the Supreme. Everything is emanating from Him. Wherever there is any greatness, wherever there is any attraction, wherever there is any opulence, that is only a display of Krishna's inconceivable spiritual prowess. And in this way Krishna revealed His identity, who He is. And then Krishna even went to the extent of showing His universal form. He showed, not only He said, He even showed His identity. Universal form means when we see Krishna's this material nature in totality, then we will see that Krishna is behind that. Krishna is in everything. Krishna has spread His, Krishna has extended Himself everywhere, in every single atom. At the same time, Krishna is also situated in the heart of every living entity. Externally, He is everywhere, and internally, also He is in everyone's heart. That's what Prahlad Maharaj very beautifully explained to his father, Hiranyakashipu. When Hiranyakashipu asked, "Where is your Hari?" And he said that just as air spreads everywhere, similarly Krishna is in everything. And He is also in the heart of everything. But in order to see Him, we need a special faculty. Just as a blind man, in order to see the sun is spread everywhere. When the sun comes in the sky, sun spreads His influence everywhere. Even though somebody may be sitting inside a room, He can see the sun through, in the form of His rays. But one who is blind, he won't be able to see that. Even if he goes out, he won't be able to see that. Even if he goes inside the sun planet, he won't be able to see that. So in order to, just as in order to see the sun, we need certain ability, certain faculties. Similarly, in order to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we need certain ability. Although He is everywhere, He is externally there, everywhere, and He is also internally there. Ito nishingha parato nishingha. Hidaye nishing, bahir nishingha, hidaye nishingha. But who can see that? Only one, or those who have developed their eyes anointed with love, premanjana chulita bhakti vibhajana. When the eyes become anointed with love, then only one is able to see. Not otherwise. Otherwise, He will see just moving and unmoving. He will see sthavar jangam. He will see the moving objects and non-moving objects in this material nature. But he don't see the all-pervasive Supreme Personality of God. But then when at least with our intelligence we can see that behind everything there is Krishna. With our intelligence we can see. Another way to see through our actually intelligence is one faculty, one of the faculties that can give us the understanding that Krishna is there. We may not be able to see that Krishna is there. We may not be able to see Krishna face to face. But with intelligence, we can understand that Krishna is there. Therefore, the more the intelligence, the more ability he will have to understand Krishna and accept Krishna. Those who do not have intelligence, they won't be able to. And so apparently sometimes somebody may have intelligence, but that intelligence becomes covered with envy, then also they won't be able to see. Just as very, very learned scholars, the scientists, the big philosophers, they cannot understand, they cannot accept Krishna. Because although apparently they are very intelligent, but that intelligence has been corrupt. It's a corrupt intelligence. And the corruption of the intelligence is due to envy. This morning I was reading some of Prabhupada's encounter with people, and I was so disgusting to see how in India some people are so envious, so arrogant. Like we can see nowadays at least most of the people are accepting the greatness of Srila Prabhupada. Many people, I mean, we come across so many people saying that, oh, I met Prabhupada. I met Prabhupada. Some are true, some are lies. Some people did really meet Srila Prabhupada, some people did not, but they are claiming that they met Srila Prabhupada. But my question at the back of my mind is, then why didn't you surrender to Srila Prabhupada? He met Srila Prabhupada. The point is, when Prabhupada was here, there were just a handful of devotees in India who surrendered to Srila Prabhupada. Why? Because either they were blind or they were blind with envy. That's why they didn't surrender to Srila Prabhupada. Such a great personality came and blessed this world, but they couldn't recognize. They're recognizing his greatness when he's gone. And often we see, like when interviews sometimes Prabhupada used to have with people. And so about Bhagavad Gita, I was just reading, some people, they're supposed to be exponents of Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada went to some place to observe Gita Jayanti. And Prabhupada noticed that there was not a single picture of Krishna in there. This is Gita Bhavan celebrating Gita Jayanti, but there is no picture of Krishna. They are celebrating Gita Jayanti by lighting a fire. And their point was, yes, Krishna is Jyoti, Gita is Jyoti. But the personality of Krishna, did the Jyoti speak Bhagavad Gita? Did Bhagavad Gita come out from the lamp? Or did the Bhagavad Gita come from Krishna? And they were so bitterly arguing with Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was direct, gave straight away that why these people are not accepting Krishna? Why aren't you all accepting Krishna, the speaker of Bhagavad Gita? You are celebrating Bhagavad Gita, but why aren't you accepting the author of the Bhagavad Gita, the speaker of Bhagavad Gita? And then Prabhupada pointed out that these experts or exponents who are giving the commentary on Bhagavad Gita are directly saying that Krishna is, it is not to Krishna that we have to surrender. We have to surrender to the unknown. Prabhupada is pointing out Krishna himself is saying surrender unto me. Why do they get the authority and the right to say not to Krishna, to the unknown? Where did Krishna say the unknown? Then they pointed out some so-called big religious leader that he also said that. Prabhupada said he's a nonsense. And smacked it right on their face. These people are thinking that these are big spiritual leaders. Prabhupada is saying that he's a nonsense. If he doesn't accept the authority of Krishna, the speaker of Bhagavad Gita, then he doesn't have the right to even touch Bhagavad Gita and utter the name of Bhagavad Gita and speak on the basis of Bhagavad Gita. If you want to speak on Bhagavad Gita, you have to accept the authority of the speaker of Bhagavad Gita. It's a common sense. So in this way we can see that although these people are apparently very intelligent, very learned, but their intelligence has been corrupt by envy. What's the difficulty in accepting Krishna? What is the difficulty? Like Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, why are you denying that? In one hand you are saying that everybody is God. Everybody is God. If everybody is God, then why can't you accept at least God as God? But their point is, indirectly they are saying, that everybody is God, but God is not God. Because if you accept God is God, then everybody cannot be God. That's the problem. God doesn't have to become God. God is God. But others, they are trying to become God. Why? Because they're competing with God. Who competes God? With God. People like Hiranyakashipu, Ravan, Kumbhakarna, etc. So you want to become the followers of Kumbhakarna and Ravan and Dantavakra and Shishupal, or you want to become the follower of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The choice is yours. The choice is yours. So to accept Bhagavad Gita, to celebrate the Gita Jayanti, is to accept the author of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna. Like we can take a very simple example, like we know that Shakespeare is a very famous author. Now there are books written by Shakespeare. We know that. There is Hamlet, Macbeth, Julius Caesar, Romeo and Juliet, Midsummer Night's Dream. So these are all, everybody knows that they're written by Shakespeare. Now if somebody comes and tells, no, they are not written by Shakespeare, Shakespeare did not exist, Will it be an intelligent proposal? Then who wrote? The point is, who wrote? And there are envious people like that. Even in these cases I have seen that there are envious people, those who don't want to give credit to Shakespeare. They say Shakespeare did not exist. They say it's Francis Bacon who actually wrote them. In a pseudonym of Shakespeare, Francis Bacon wrote them. What is the proof? If Francis Bacon can write this, why can't Shakespeare write this? The point is, this is the envious nature of the human being. They don't want to give the credit where it is due. By shifting the credit from where it is due, they want to glorify, they want to establish their authority. And ultimately it extends to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I don't want to give him the credit. Fine, you don't want to give him the credit, but then what will be the result? The result is you will suffer. You will suffer. And what's the result of surrendering unto him? The result of surrendering is you will enjoy. The other day I was reading one incident. Indradumna Maharaj was narrating it. That he was recalling one person in one devotee during the Sankirtan marathon time, this time. One girl, she was distributing. She was a very enthusiastic book distributor. She was distributing in the railway station in Paris. And they would even, when the train would stop, they would even go inside the train to distribute Bhagavad Gita. And then as soon as the train would about to start to move, she would come out of the compartment. And so she gave this Bhagavad Gita to one person. And he started to scream at her. Then he tore the Bhagavad Gita and he started to pound on Bhagavad Gita. With his feet. And then he threw her out of the train when it started to move, and she dislocated her bones and she was hospitalized. Anyway, this incident was forgotten till much later. And in the meantime, yes, this is the thing. In the meantime, this person, he took carried the Bhagavad Gita with him. He went home. He showed it to his wife, and very proudly telling her what he did. But then the book was there on the table. The maidservant, he's a big man, he was a banker. So the maidservant came and she saw this and she thought that really it's a book that to her it seemed like the car has run over the book and the book got damaged. So she dusted the book and kept it in the library. Now in the meantime, this man's wife died in a car crash. His daughter ran away with a low-class person. And this whole family got devastated, and the man was completely devastated. And he was one day he was sitting down, and just out of curiosity, he started to read this book, Bhagavad Gita. In French. And when he started to read the book, he got completely transformed. He recognized his mistake. At the back of the thing, he saw this man was from Spain actually. He saw the address of the temple in Madrid. So he went to the temple, and when he went to the temple president came out, and he was in his suit and tie, and when he came to him, he just knelt down with folded hand. He started to appeal, "Please forgive me, please forgive me." And then He started to come to the temple. Actually, the temple person couldn't understand. He thought really he became mad or something. So because a person like him don't usually behave like that, because people in suit and tie, they naturally maintain their dignity. They don't kneel down and appeal like that. Anyway, but he found out, the man, he consoled him. He said, no problem. And he started to come to your temple. And then in Italy, there was a festival. And this man was invited. He also came. And there he saw this girl who distributed the Bhagavad Gita. And he just started to cry and cry and begging forgiveness. And the girl, of course, said, no, don't worry. And the man became a devotee. already he became a devotee. So, Krishna has his inconceivable way of bringing a living entity back to his lotus feet. But we should be careful that how we behave with devotees, how we approach to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his instructions. The intelligent thing is to just accept the instruction. At least one thing we can understand, that Krishna is so wise. At least when we read Bhagavad Gita, we get so many informations that we are not at all aware of. How many of us knew that we are not this body, we are spirit? Before reading Bhagavad Gita. I don't think anybody, hardly anyone. Because where will we get the information? The natural tendency is to think that I am this body. Everybody thinks that I am this body. That's why it is said, Janmana Jayate Shudra. By birth, everyone is a Shudra. Everyone is an ignorant. But it's only by receiving spiritual knowledge that one becomes a Brahmana, one becomes enlightened. The spiritual knowledge must be received from some source. We can't get this knowledge on our own. This knowledge has to come from a bona fide source, and the bona fide source is Bhagavad Gita, or Srimad Bhagavatam, or the scriptures like. But Bhagavad Gita is the basic. Like I have seen, Upanishad can be very bewildering, especially when we read without the guidance of a qualified teacher. Even Bhagavad Gita, often I remember, I used to carry a Bhagavad Gita with me all the time. I used to read them when I read it, whenever I would get time, and I would even take notes on the side. Notes about my realizations. But eventually I realized, when I came across Srila Prabhupada, then I realized that I didn't understand a single thing in Bhagavad Gita. Although I was reading Bhagavad Gita for so many years, although I was thinking that I am understanding so much. But when I came across Srila Prabhupada, I realized that I didn't understand anything about Bhagavad Gita. Why? Because what was happening is, when I would read certain areas, certain chapters, I would just focus on that chapter. And I would try to see things according to my understanding of what I was reading. But when I came across Srila Prabhupada, what was the special understanding from Prabhupada? The special understanding is, Krishna is God, and surrendering unto Him is the only way to apply the wisdom of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is God. Whereas the Bhagavad Gita that I was reading before, nowhere it has been mentioned or pointed out that Krishna is God. They were just trying to understand Bhagavad Gita according to their understanding, their presentation, not according to Krishna's perspective. And that's why Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita is causing such a revolution all around the world. Not even I was reading, many of my hippie friends are also interested in Bhagavad Gita. They would read the Bhagavad Gita of Isharud, and sometimes we would have discussion. I don't know what we discuss. It was such a waste of time. But then Prabhupada came and just gave the magic touch and the revelation of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is God, and the first instruction is to surrender unto Him. If you want to understand Bhagavad Gita, the first qualification is surrender. Tadbiddhi pranipatina. To surrender. And this is how I learned how to surrender unto Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada's purports. Yes, and then everything started to unfold. So, Bhagavad Gita must be studied under the guidance of a qualified teacher. And that qualified teacher is a devotee. Unless and until one is a devotee, one won't be able to reveal the purports of Bhagavad. Just as Krishna himself pointed out in Bhagavad Gita, Bhakta Mam Abhi Janati. Bhakta means by devotion, by bhakti. Only by bhakti, only through bhakti one can get to know me. Only through bhakti one can understand the words of Bhagavad Gita. So, that is the most important understanding of Bhagavad Gita, which has been revealed by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada's point was Bhagavad Gita as it is. We must study Bhagavad Gita as it is. Not only the way Krishna spoke, that is one half of Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna spoke. And the other half of Bhagavad Gita is the way Arjuna understood. And that's what makes it complete. The speaker and the listener. The teacher and the student. The knowledge is revealed by these two aspects. Teacher and student. Teacher gives, teacher imparts the knowledge, and the student understands. We have to see Bhagavad Gita the way Arjuna understood it. Now, in this respect, the way these people are presenting Bhagavad Gita, they are not only rejecting Krishna out of the picture, they are putting Krishna away from the picture. Krishna is not important. The speaker of Bhagavad Gita is not important. I am important because I am giving the purport of Bhagavad Gita. Taking the knowledge from Krishna and putting my stamp on it. What kind of rascaldom is this? You come up with your own knowledge, write your own book, and then not just plagiarize, not just some, take others' knowledge, others' writing, and then put a stamp. Not only they are rejecting Krishna, but they are totally unconcerned about Arjuna. Totally unconcerned about the background. Why Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita? Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita in order to give Arjuna, in order to convince Arjuna to fight the battle. And how is he pointing it out? He is pointing it out by reminding Arjuna that you are not your body, you are a spirit soul, and the goal of your life is to surrender unto me. And then at the end of Bhagavad Gita, we are seeing that Arjuna is soul surrendered unto Krishna. And then it continues. We see the battle of Kurukshetra. Then we see how Arjuna fighting the battle. Then we see how Krishna is helping Arjuna, protecting him time and time again. And then ultimately we see how Arjuna came out victorious. Although it was impossible a battle to win. Who could ever win a battle against this kind of opposition, this kind of opponents? Bhishma, a person who is practically immortal. He would not die unless he wants to die himself. And he is one of the greatest warriors. Has been taught by Parashuram himself, the incarnation, the Kshatriya warfare incarnation of the Lord, who eliminated the entire Kshatriya communities 21 times from the surface of the earth. That Parashuram is Bhishma's guru. And not only he is his guru, but Bhishma fought with Parashuram and Parashuram himself couldn't defeat Bhishma. So here is this personality. Then Dronacharya, another invincible personality. Until he dropped the weapons from his hand, nobody would be able to kill him. Dronacharya could be killed only when he voluntarily dropped the weapon from his hand. Then Karna, the son of sun god, the greatest of all the Kshatriyas, actually. Although I did not identify, not recognize as a Kshatriya. Then Duryodhan, who was personally taught by Balaram. And then numerically also, the enemy side is so much stronger. So what is the chance of the Pandavas winning that battle? And that's why Duryodhana was so confident. Well, I'll wipe them out in one day. And I will enjoy this world without these people. I'll just kill them all in the battle. And that's why Duryodhana would not make any compromise. He was so confident. The victory on his side was practically inevitable. But then we see the scenario took another turn. Bhishma is gone. Dronacharya is gone. All are eliminated one after another. The personalities, those who are practically impossible to defeat in the battle, they are just going out one after another. Dead. Dead. Duryodhana is devastated. What's happening? He's freaking out. What's happening? Yes, that's what happens when Krishna is on against you. Therefore, don't go against Krishna. Always line up with Krishna. You may have your plans completely foolproof, but all those plans will just go haywire. As it happened in the world. So, this is what we learn from Bhagavad Gita. Side with Krishna. No matter whoever you are going to win. No matter how big is your opposition, it will be removed. And that is the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who can be more powerful than Krishna? Who can be more powerful than the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Only the fools don't realize. The fools, those who are blind with envy, they do not realize. They think, I am the greatest. Who is Krishna? Who is God? He may be an insignificant as an ant or even worse than an ant. In his deathbed, these people, still they don't want to surrender to Krishna. They can't even lift their own hand. No, why should I surrender to Krishna? Totally incapacitated. Still they don't want to surrender to Krishna. But what will an intelligent person do? He will surrender to Krishna. Right at the beginning, no matter wherever he is, whoever he is, how powerful he may be, an intelligent person will really recognize that no matter whoever he is or how powerful he is, Krishna is far more superior and far more powerful than he is. And whatever power he has, whatever opulence he has, whatever ability he has, it's simply due to Krishna's mercy. That is an intelligent conclusion. That's an intelligent understanding. Whatever opulence I have, whatever ability I have, whatever strength I have, it is simply due to Krishna's mercy. So let me be grateful. Oh Krishna, you have given me so much. You have given me so much. And I'm so thankful to you. So let me just try to do something for you. And when one develops this attitude, his life is successful. Then nothing inauspicious can come to him. And under all circumstances, he will win. And if anyone goes against him, he better watch it out. If anyone goes against him, and that is why it is pointed out, don't go against a Vaishnava. Because Krishna is with him. And if you go against him, then you are actually stepping into a wrong platform. Because Krishna is with him, he'll be smashed. One may say, I am also a Vaishnava, Krishna is with me. Well, if you want to take a chance, go ahead. Hare Krishna. So in this way, Krishna is pointing out that surrender unto Krishna. That's the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. So the one who has surrendered himself unto Krishna's lotus feet, he has perfectly understood Bhagavad Gita. He has gone through the 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita in a most appropriate fashion. He understood every single verse of Bhagavad Gita. Because that is the ultimate consideration of Bhagavad Gita. Surrender unto Krishna. You surrender unto Krishna, your life will be successful. You doesn't matter whoever you may be, whether you are learned or ignorant, whether you are powerful or weak, whether you are famous or degraded, doesn't matter. If you just surrender unto Krishna, your life is perfect. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari. Any question? Yes.
Maharaj, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that he who studies the conversation between you and me, that is Arjuna and Krishna, is worshipping me by through intelligence. And you explained in your class how intelligence gets corrupted due to envy. So my question is, how do we help someone who has material intelligence, normal material and standard is very intelligent. So how do we, spiritualize his intelligence so that he'll be able to understand this?
Yeah. help him to get rid of his envious nature. Make him free. Help him or let him become free from envy. Then only he will be able to help him, not otherwise. As long as he harbors his envious nature, his intelligence won't work. Because envy is going to obstruct it. Rather than that's why association is so important. You know, through association of Vaishnavas, what do you get? You get to see that they are so nice. They are so merciful, they are so compassionate. And that actually helps to get rid of the envy. The envy actually generates out of our defiant attitude. The envy comes, the origin of the envy is actually to try to lord over. Everyone is superior to me, everyone is inferior to me, and I am the greatest. That's actually the false ego. I am the greatest. And when there is when we come across things, it seems that somebody is greater than me. Somebody seems to be greater than me, then that turns into envy. Why him? Why not me? That's actually envy. Then ultimately it goes on to the greatest, the Supreme Personality. But when you come across the devotees, what do you find? Although they are so great, but they don't want to display that. They don't want to claim that they are superior to us. They kind of maintain an attitude that they are our well-wisher. And on top of everything, they are so humble. They are well-wisher. He is great, but he is my friend. So that is how this appropriate Vaishnava association actually helps us become free from envy. And that's why it is so important that the community of Vaishnava should be displaying this spiritual quality. And the greatest spiritual quality is that in spite of being exalted, he considers himself to be so low. Although they are the greatest, but they consider themselves to be the lowest. Now where is the room for becoming envious towards them? Like in one hand I am seeing their greatness, but he is presenting as if he is lower than me. So he is already putting me into an exalted position. So there is no room for cultivation of envy. So that's why we have two responsibilities. To remain in the Vaishnava association and to create the Vaishnava environment. We should not become Vaishnavas just by wearing saffron and putting tilak and shaving head. Our actual Vaishnava qualities will be displayed by our attitude and behavior. And what is a Vaishnava? He is just trying to fulfill everybody's desires. Bancha kalpasaru. So if somebody is there In the world where everyone is trying to become the master, if I find there's a community where everybody thinks that he is our servant, then what a wonderful atmosphere it will be. That's why we should, the temple atmosphere should be a pure Vaishnava atmosphere. Our attitude should be, how can I serve you? What can I do for you? And you will see how people will respond. I feel so happy when people tell me, devotees are so nice. And why they are saying that devotees are so nice? Because they feel that the devotees are just, you know, always so caring. Their attitude is, are you happy? Are you comfortable? What can I do for you? Can I make your stay a little more comfortable? And that is how people will be won over. And that is how we have to create the Vaishnava environment. Alright, yes, what's your question?
How can we get the pure devotion of Krishna?
Okay, you read Bhagavad Gita and try to practice it. Right? You chant, are you chanting Hare Krishna? Chant Hare Krishna, are you following the regulative principle? Do you eat meat? Or are you a vegetarian? You are a vegetarian. Do you take any intoxication? No? Good. You are on a very nice platform already. You don't drink tea, coffee? Sometimes. No? Okay. So, and anyway, so you are on a very good platform. So chant Hare Krishna and associate with the devotees and read Bhagavad Gita. Right? Do you accept that Krishna is God? And who are you? Who are you? His servant. Yeah, very good. You are his servant. So Krishna is the Lord and you are his servant. Very good. So you keep on practicing. And you will see, you will become a very good devotee. Maybe already you have become a very good devotee. What do you do? Where?
In
Bhopal. Okay, very good. Very good. So become a very good devotee. And then you will see how wonderfully Krishna will reward you. Yes. Okay, you let her ask the question and Shyamkund, you translate it to me. Yeah, you ask the question. No, not one by sentence by sentence. In one go. Let her tell the question to you and you tell me. Okay, now you tell me the whole question. Yes, our understanding is that it is difficult to surrender to Krishna directly, but we must surrender through Krishna's bona fide representative. And that bona fide representative of Krishna is the Vaishnavas. And among the Vaishnavas, we find our gurus. So yes, that is the way to surrender to Krishna. Because you cannot speak to Krishna or hear Krishna. But you can speak to your guru and hear from him. So that is what you need. Somebody there who you can communicate with to get the goods. Okay. It is like when you want to buy a Japanese car in Russia, in Moscow. In Moscow there is Toyota cars. Right? Toyota cars are made where? In Japan. So to buy a Toyota car, do you have to go to Japan? If you had to go to Japan and get the car and ship it, it would have been difficult. But if there is an agent of Toyota in Moscow, so you can just go to the shop, pay the money and buy the car. Isn't it a lot easier? Right? So similarly, Krishna also sent his agents. Right? So you can approach the agent and you'll get the goods. And what is the goods here? Transcendental knowledge. Alright? Okay. Yes? Okay, another question. Yeah, it can be even worse. Because, you see, if you commit an offense to the father may not mind it so much. But if in front of the father, if you do something to his son, how will the father react? Father will be even more angry if you do something to his son. Similarly, if you commit some offense to Krishna, he may not take it that seriously. But if you commit offense to Krishna's devotees, then Krishna becomes very upset. Alright? And when Krishna is angry, you better watch out. Okay? It's called Om.
Yes.
Is it? How do you spell it?
O-S-M.
Oh, I see. O-S-M.
Okay. Management has decided to produce a television program on the greatest thinkers of India. So they have selected few personalities. Tagore, Dayanand, Swami Dayanand, Mahatma Gandhi. Along with them, Radha Krishna also has the greatest thinkers of India.
Radha?
Radha Krishna.
Radha Krishna or Radha Krishnan?
Radha Krishna.
Krishna. Then why Radha Krishna?
I don't know.
Okay. Must be Radha Krishnan, who was the president of India. Okay, so what's your question? Well, you won't be able to convince because you are a small fry there. They are not going to listen to you. You know, because these people are you know, like, how can you convince them? They are the decision makers. You are not the decision maker. And they are not going to listen to you. You can try. You can try. But try not, you know, like, approaching through this kind of issues, you won't be able to make a headway. Because, you know, they'll immediately consider, who are you to tell us? We have made the decision, you are supposed to execute the job, just do it. I'm not here to listen to you. So give them some Krishna prasad and pray to Krishna. That's the problem, you know, like, I mean, the whole system has become so demonic. To change them is going to be very, very difficult.
They have already one program on Bhagavad Gita. Already in that program they said that Bhagavad Gita, there was no war, the war. But the sense is high sense of one. There was no war at all. They have already given one program.
So as that's what I said, like, they are not here to promote Krishna consciousness. They are here to promote sense gratification. So they will do just anything to promote sense gratification. And their audience also don't want to listen to some spiritual advice. Their audience wants to listen to something or see some program that will be conducive to the sense gratification. So in order to change the system, we have to change the whole world. And that's why Sankirtan movement is there. It's not one man's job. It's a worldwide movement that has to take place. And that's why Prabhupada created ISKCON. Individually we won't be able to change the system. But ISKCON can change the system. But it will take time. And also it will, the important thing is how we are contributing to ISKCON. How we are acting on behalf of ISKCON, how we are promoting the mission of ISKCON. Yes, what's your question? What is the question? I didn't get that. Yeah, I said Bhagavad Gita Jayanti is the day when Krishna, today is the day when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. This is, today Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Okay? That is Gita Jayanti. Is that, does it answer the question? Jawab mila, tumhar prashna kya tha tumhara? आज से आज कृष्ण ने भगवत गीता बताया था अर्जुन को, ठीक है, कि आज का जो तिथि है इस तिथि में अर्जुन को भगवत गीता बताया,
and he benefited because of his mentality and his understanding. Now when Arjuna, I mean when Duryodhana was in the throes of death, Krishna and the Pandavas came to him, he actually said, I don't care about others. I'm going to the heaven of planets anyway to enjoy. You know, so whatever you did and whatever you said doesn't matter, you know. I don't care. So he didn't get the benefit, even though he was dying and saw Krishna there. That kind of inimical attitude is kind of really heavy.
Yeah, true.
He just couldn't get it.
As you said, he went to the heavenly planet. Okay. English, English, English.
Devotee is one side of the road. You can put it all the details of ignorance. How being a devotee, you can put it that the material desire of one.
He'll, like a well-wisher, he knows which desire should be fulfilled and which not. If somebody comes to a devotee and tells him, give me a bottle of scotch, will he fulfill that desire? So, he may be Banchakalpa Taru, but he is not going to fulfill the desires that may be detrimental to the spiritual progress. He knows how to fulfill his desires for his spiritual advancement. And when we take to this process, surrendering unto the Vaishnava, then we see that how he fulfills all our desires, even some desires may be unknown in our heart. We may not be aware, but he fulfills those desires. This morning only I was reflecting on that, like how Prabhupada fulfilled all my desires in such a wonderful way. I surrendered unto him and he just not all desires, but desires that were beneficial for my spiritual progress, Prabhupada fulfilled all desires. And the desires that were detrimental to my spiritual progress, Prabhupada made me realize that those desires should not be cultivated. So this is how a Vaishnava helps. Surrender, a soul who surrendered unto him. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande.